When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, Brandon Pham here. When you guys get the chance, please support us on patreon.com/gamedevunchained to help us get to our next Patreon goal. Becoming an Unchainer allows you early access to our episodes weekly and gives you other perks such as listening to exclusive podcasts where we talk to our fans directly about our developments and personal stories. We also have additional cool things that we're planning when you become an Unchainer. So please, if you have any time and would like to support us, head over to our Patreon, give us that support. If you want more than just listening to the podcast every week, please join us in our Discord channel. It's available on our website, www.gamedevunchained.com. As you are listening to this week's episode, please go ahead and head over to 80.lv. They have amazing articles on game development, such as Akitsu, a new animation tool for game dev, where Aurelien Cherrier and Yannick Rousseau explain the new features of Akitsu, an interesting animation tool specifically designed for game development. Also, if you want to make your guns better, check out Rico Suyong Wang. Talked about the way he used Nick Reynolds' comments to create a more interesting in-game weapon. These are just a few of many articles that is available on 80.lv, so go over there and check them out. All right, let's get to this week's episode.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is that special time of the week where you sit real close to the radio or the podcast device that you listened on. Game Dev Unchained podcast. This is Larry Charles, one half of the podcasting team. Couldn't do it alone. I never do it alone. I always bring a special guest to help me co-host. And this week, he is the Platinum Trophy winner for every PS1 game, Mr. Brandon Pham.
Hey, bringing back the classics and a special guest who is going to help us out with this new segment, Glassdoor Confession, Colin Fogle. How you doing, Colin?
What's up, Colin?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you guys?
You're doing good, man.
Doing well, man. Good to have you back.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me back.
So,
interested to see how this goes.
Yes, we are interested in that as well. So, the segment is called Glassdoor Confession. It's a new segment we're adding to the podcast. And the idea is to give a little history lesson of a particular company, right? This week, we're concentrated on Kojima Production, also known as Konami Digital Entertainment in Los Angeles. And we're going to read the Glassdoor reviews. Give a little bit of the background, and we're going to discuss, and we'll take it from there and see how this goes out.
Yeah, so you're listening live as we commit career suicide and just blacklist ourselves company
well,
by company.
We're starting soft, right? Kojima Production's gone, right? So it did not work, right? We're not speculating on that. No. But we're going to try to find out as best we can through Glassdoor what happened. Because if anything, that is our best measure.
Yeah, so in defense of everyone on the podcast, two things. One, obviously, these are just our individual opinions and speculation. We're not representing any specific company as we say these things. And two, we are reading what other people said on Glassdoor. We're not reading what we said on Glassdoor.
Exactly. All right. So Konami, all right? So when you think of a Konami, what games do you think of?
Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Gear Solid. What was that soccer game? Which one?
The soccer game.
The Pro Evolution Soccer. They were doing well before FIFA took over.
I think it was Zone of Enders. Was that Konami?
Yeah, Zone of Enders. That was a Kojima game.
I love that game.
Silent Hill, right?
Silent Hill, yeah.
I think some of the Bomberman games were from Konami. So a lot of classics. Castlevania, right? Yeah, is another good one. So they're known through the PS1, PS2 era. Really, really good games. PS3, you know, they had the Metal Gear Solid franchise killing. And then PS4 is when we started seeing some shit happening, right? So they're known for those games. Kojima Production, in particular, was a spinoff. Well, it was like a subsector of Konami where, of course, Kojima was heading the studio, mostly taking care of the Metal Gear franchise. This was after Zone of Enders, and they were in planning to do the PT demo, the Silent Hill, right?
The reboot,
the PT demo that they release over a summer without even acknowledging it was Silent Hill until you actually beat the demo. But it was a phenomenon. Like, everyone was downloading, everyone was commenting. It changed the face of horror for a lot of people. And Resident Evil was Resident Evil 7, I think the latest one, was very influenced by that game. So the aftermath of that demo is still being felt. A lot of horror games are still copying that formula.
Yeah. And you can't get it anymore. Yes. You know, there's people eBaying their PlayStations that have PT on it,
right?
Because they won't let you get it anymore. It's crazy.
So a little bit more, of course, as we all know, Kojima Production is no more. So Larry, through your rough assessment of what happened, can you summarize at least what you think or what you've heard reading through Kotaku and everything?
So I can say what I've heard. I think that from the development standpoint, I heard there was a lot of unhappy employees that were working there, and that there's a sense that you don't kind of get fired there. You kind of just get irritated until you quit,
right?
Which is, it's really sad to say something like that, but I guess it kind of stems from culture that has been established elsewhere in the same company. And so like that kind of thing, I guess, carried over here. And then I guess some of the beef that was going down between Kojima and Konami was just like, it was such good drama, like them winning an award for the game, but not acknowledging Kojima or let him go on stage to receive the award, and like all the petty stuff that was going back and forth as the things were kind of coming to a close. The one thing I did speculate, even from Kotaku, was that I think the release of the PT demo was a power move by Kojima to try to force Konami's hand into making the Silent Hill game the way that they wanted. But there was probably some things that he overlooked, or that he, I'm assuming, was just not supposed to be done, that he did anyway, and was like, well, F you then, I'm gonna put it out. And then there was a lot of backlash that wasn't public that we just didn't get to see. Long story short, Kojima has his own studio now working on Death Stranding, I think, the new game, right?
Right. Yeah. So he was able to keep his last name for his new studio, which was surprisingly pretty cool. So the thing that was going down in the midst of, you know, the PT demo, Metal Gear 5, even before Metal Gear 5 was out, they were already replacing his name, right? He wasn't able to do any of the press tours on his own game, which, you know, he's widely known for every one of his Metal Gear. And other stuff was Konami was going through a phase, right? They were going through a change. Their mobile market was doing really well. Not as if like it was completely outselling their AAA games. It was more like they spent this amount of money and then they were getting this amount of profit, right? So the gap was a lot huger versus making a Metal Gear game or any big games. They just saw a minimal amount of profit. So they were thinking, oh, you know, the phone games are the future. So go ahead.
Can I jump in here just really quick? Yeah. I'm sorry to catch up here, but so Kojima Studios, he basically left and now they're doing Silent Hill, or this was before Metal Gear?
So Silent Hill got shut down. PT is all the Silent Hill that you'll get with Kojima's name on it.
Right.
Okay.
So he was Silent Hill. Yeah, he was doing it with Guillermo del Toro. Rebooting a Silent. They were rebooting Silent Hill pretty much. And they were still under the Konami brand. But after the demo, even when the demo was like, everybody was super excited about it, they were going through shit already. And so because of that divorce. You know, the demo remains a demo. They actually removed the demo now. You can't even download it anymore. Okay. No trace of that game whatsoever. Gotcha. So he went on to make his own studio, and now they're releasing a game called Death Stranding. It's still early, I think. But it was a crazy, well, it was the last 2 years ago, right? Before, when this was all happening.
Feels like
it was very, because he was a vice president of the company, not just his company, his studio, but he was a vice president at Konami for a long time. And that's a 20 plus year relationship, by the way. Like, he was making Metal Gear since the 90s with them. For it to go down the way it did, it was shocking. Where we're not, I feel like us developers are used to being screwed, right, by the man. But like, to see it at that director level, you know what I mean? It's fucking Kojima, dude. Like,
how do you have a company where you don't invite the vice president to meetings?
Hey, you know what? That unfortunately reminds me of every other studio I've been at, except at that type of level. That's crazy.
That's insane.
It's like, we don't invite the actual talent to meetings.
They wouldn't let him like do the press tour for their own game, which only helps them sell more games, right? So
they probably got infiltrated by people that hate talent.
Well, it was definitely happening. The phone game craze was building up in Konami. So that's the brief history lesson, right? There's a lot more to it. There's a whole Kotaku article about it. There was stuff that was happening at both Japan and LA. This was surprising. Like, Japan was like, oh, that's interesting. In LA, it was happening too, where, you know, they would reduce their producers to doing janitorial work because they didn't want to like straight up fire them, but they were trying to reduce their, keep them around. But, you know, like Larry mentioned before, irritate them until they left. And they would do shit with email addresses being changed weekly so that you don't have the same email that you would use to email outside of the company. They were afraid of people leaving, which is really weird. And then just throttling the internet for very specific things and not being able to browse at work. So it was like a jailhouse. Right. And then, you know, Konami already has a bad rep, like when it comes to like because their big business that isn't games are making pachinko machines. Right. Which is like a huge, like,
it's huge in Japan.
It's tied to gambling. A lot of times it might be tied to Yakuza stuff. So for them to like do that type of shit out in the open like that, it was kind of scary, right? So they formed, so the company that we want to kind of talk about, but we'll talk about when we look at the Glassdoor, it contains both Konami and Kojima Productions together. Half the reviews for Kojima Productions in LA. They opened up the LA company. I don't know if you guys remember it. I was super excited when they opened an LA company because the whole reason I wanted to get into the game industry was because of Metal Gear, and I was never going to move to Japan to make a Metal Gear, but I always, when they opened, I was like, oh, maybe one day, you know, when I'm in that area, maybe I can work for them to see what it's like, you know, to work on a Metal Gear game. That'd be incredible. They built a state-of-the-art facility and everything, hired like a bunch of shit, you know, people. There was like 150 people to 200 or whatever. And then shortly, 2 years later, it was closed down because of all this stuff. So
was it they blew too much money and didn't get enough back, or was it a lot of just issues like they didn't have the talent at the end of the?
Let me look at this, right? Metal Gear Solid 5 sold pretty solid numbers. Like, it sold really well.
Because I remember with BioShock, what was it? BioShock 3 Infinite?
Yes.
Afterward, when they closed the studio, the head guy was like, oh, yeah, we're just closing to take time off. And me being in the industry, I was like, no, I know how much you blow money and how many concepts you go through and this and that, and how much shit you throw away. You guys probably blew way too much money. You still made a hit product.
Yeah.
But it was funny because to me, when they went on the news and said that, it sounded like they were just spinning a new story. They were just like, "Eh, we don't want to tell everybody that we broke even on this AAA, you know, award-winning project. We'll just tell them that we're." Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely probably a mixture, right? Because they were pretty open by saying that their mobile business was making more of a profit, not in terms of overall gross sales. It's more like they spent X amount of money that didn't cost as much as making a Metal Gear, and they were able to make five times as much versus two times as much. So there's, so their thinking was probably a mixture of like, we're paying a lot for making these games. And, you know, we don't get to, we have to wait 5 years to actually see if it's a success or not. So they were changing direction. And I feel like Kojima Production was the first cut when it comes to that type of thinking. Because Metal Gear is, I'm looking at the numbers, man. As a franchise, it has sold over 50 million copies. So Metal Gear 5 was critically well received. You know, the whole industry was behind it when this was happening. So there was a lot of good deal of support for that, for what was happening to Kojima, right? It's very easy to side with Kojima on this one because that guy's in the history books. Gave us like one of the best franchises ever. And to hear the developer getting screwed by the man is always like an easy, easy thing to go off of. So, you know, everyone's fine now, but that's, you know, we would hear, at least on my part, I would hear some people that worked at Kojima Productions in LA and kind of like how they were treated there. The surprising thing is like they were similarly being treated the same way their colleagues were being treated in Japan, where, you know, in America, we have like laws over here that you can't treat people like this, you know? I was very surprised to hear some of the stuff that was happening. So,
well, I was almost wondering, because when you were mentioning the whole like, oh, producers are doing janitorial, this and that, like it almost reminded me of like why crappy employees don't get fired in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, this is insane. They were crappy. I'm just saying,
it's impossible.
It reminds me of that. Maybe it's the companies are just like, you know what? These guys know too much about our company, the product, this and that. We'd rather keep them than fire them, which is kind of a weird,
Could it be a severance thing, though? Maybe they don't want to pay a shitload of...
I feel it's more of a secret thing, or not secret, but just talking about the product.
There is a weird thing
like that.
Well, I mean, there is a weird thing. Like every company I've been at, there's always like a person there is like, why is he still here? How is he still here? Like it's so, and until you hear someone actually getting fired, right? It is like a total gasp. Like what the fuck did he do? Because you know he did something bad. It's so hard to get fired at a game company. I feel like there's a lot of chances and opportunities.
Well, I just feel like they don't fire him, like you were saying, is because they don't want secrets or stuff about their product.
Could be, so could be that. Well,
maybe they keep him around and they have him doing janitorial work or something.
Well, hopefully in today's episode that's a brief history lesson, the games that they're known for. We're going to jump right into Glassdoor Confession. And if you guys, for fun, want to follow along, to know that I'm not making stuff up, you know, we're looking at Konami Digital Entertainment, right? Konami Digital Entertainment is, of course, still around, but Kojima Production is long gone. And half of these reviews are about the LA company. So that's good. We'll get a lot of sources. All right. So I'm going to go ahead. Give me a sec here. I'm going to share my screen so you guys can see it too.
Oh, sorry. Are these ex-coworkers or just...
There are some that are current employees and there are some called former employees. So we'll read both. Okay. It's all labeled accordingly. All right. So this is from... And I'm reading it from the top, right? I'm going by popular. So we'll see what that means by popular. February 21st, 2017. Title is Project Manager. He or she is a current employee, and he claims to have been working at Konami Digital Entertainment full time for more than 3 years. All right, so at least 3 years. So the pros, pretty short: the people, the benefits, the pay, depending on the boss. All right, what does that mean? The cons: for a tech company, they are very behind on software implementation. Advice to management: trust your employees. So there's a few things in here that I've heard before, right? So you see this a lot at certain schools, right? Certain schools don't really upgrade their software as much. But I never hear too much about companies that don't incorporate new changes in the industry, especially, you know, Colin, you know, for environment guys, there's a new software that comes out every week that we have to learn.
Freaking 2-3 weeks.
Exactly. Yeah. Like,
or that. Well, yeah, okay. You keep
going. No, it's true, right? Even ZBrush, right? Yeah. One singular software, every time they have an update, it's like a major workflow change, or they're adding something that cuts half your time. So you have to spend the time to kind of get updated with that stuff. So for a tech company, this person says, they are very behind on software implementation. I mean,
well, I guess for me, this goes two ways, because for me, yeah, there are definitely some people that go to studios and really try to just change it all up and push too much. Right. But I feel like for this studio doing a realistic game, Metal Gear Solid, look beautiful, I'm sure they needed all the tech and got all the programming and everything to get it to run smoothly. So, yeah, I'm sure there was probably something going on.
Well, this one particular review is earlier this year. So February 21st of this year. So this is all after Kojima Productions, I'm assuming, right?
Are they still using the Fox engine, though?
I don't know.
The reason why I ask is I've actually never seen it, so I don't know how easy or hard it is to, you know, bring assets in or what things are compatible with it. So In all fairness, maybe some of the tech issues could just be that, like, well, Fox doesn't let us do this, or Fox requires us to do it a certain way, something like that, maybe. I don't know.
Well, I know the Fox engine was developed by Kojima Productions, right? They were kind of like the forefront of making this engine. And like a lot of companies nowadays, you know, very few AAA companies are using a third-party engine like Unreal or Unity, at least in this generation. So I know for a fact, at least for their, there was an effort, and they probably still are using the Fox engine for pretty much all their Konami games, because I know the soccer game, like I mentioned before, Pro Evolution Soccer, is using a Fox engine. So I would assume that they are still, because, you know, developing an engine takes millions of dollars.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Fox engine itself looked pretty damn good, right? With all the Metal Gear games, the same way that EA is using Frostbite for all their games, you know, for Madden, for God's sake. It's a Battlefield thing, but they had made it for Madden, they made it for golf, you know, they're using it for everything they can. They're milking the shit out of that stuff. Maybe in the long term it is a good idea. Short term, there's a lot of headaches. So if, you know, I guess the best way to assume is that when Kojima Productions left, and, you know, some of them probably migrated to other teams, or most of them probably left with Kojima himself, you know, there's probably a lot of talented tech guys still left at Konami. So I have to also assume that, you know, they do their due diligence to keep their job and upgrade the engine as needed. But it could be, when they say software implementation, it could be everything else that Colin and I was complaining about, you know, just general implementation. And if their focus isn't about realistic anymore and it's all about like these iPhone games or whatever, maybe that's another reason why they
This is a tough comment, because this is one of those where I could easily be at a studio and be like, kind of like I was at one studio where we did hand painted textures, and then some artist is like, you know, I can't do that. So he kept trying to push, like, you know, better normal maps and just realistic lighting. And it's like, damn, man, like, way to change the whole style.
It's not even the style. Yeah.
I can't tell if this comment is like a employee that's just trying to change the whole damn studio.
Right.
And get with the, or if he is seriously like, hey, our studio is.
Well, there's a cryptic message saying project manager. He starts off the comment with in quotes, project manager, right? I don't know if he means
that's a blow right there.
Yeah.
Project manager, what is a project manager though?
Is that a,
I guess it's a producer, right? That? Isn't that a producer?
I don't know what the hell that is. Yeah, I guess. A lead, maybe?
Yeah, I was gonna say it's probably a way of saying like you're like an executive producer without giving you the word executive. Mm. I'd imagine you don't have five project managers, but you might have five producers, right, kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. Even though they're kind of in the same vein, I think this person sounds like somebody who's like top of the food chain of like project management.
Yeah,
for lack of better words,
he's managing something. His advice,
a lazy program.
Yeah, maybe advice to management: trust your employees. I don't know what that means. Like, I guess Konami with all that email locking and and all that stuff, not letting people browse, maybe that's what they mean, like don't trust your employees.
I can see that.
Yeah, well, 3 stars out of 5, so he somewhat likes it. He's like, yeah, that's why he's still there, right?
Oh, it says current
employee, 3 stars out of 5, despite all this one word. But like, this is the thing about Glassdoor, right? I don't know if you guys have ever left a Glassdoor review ever. But usually when you leave a review, at least for me, right? If I were to spend the time going Glassdoor, if I'm not just reading it, I'm like, I need to say something. It's usually negative, right? Mm. It's not for me to like, man, this company is so badass. I can see that, but it's such a rarity. At least I feel like maybe some people have that benefit of... such a good company. I've been working for 6 years. I need to let everyone know about it, but
no, it's that way. Right. People are that way in general. Like Yelp experiences the same thing.
Yeah.
If you have even the most minor inconvenience, people just will bomb your site. But you do like a fantastic job, and they're like, "Oh, thank you. Here's your tip."
Yeah.
And then they go about their business. Right. Right. It's very hard to see people overwhelmingly so motivated on the positive end, but the slightest little inconvenience can motivate someone on the negative end. Mm-hmm. So there is that. I agree.
Well, this might have to be a big issue for them, because God, I didn't even know you could go on a website and talk trash about game companies. Dude,
this is sometimes it's just entertainment.
It's funny to watch. I've read some that are just killing it for me. Yeah.
I just feel like I need to tell my other professional friends who to look out for.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'd ever go online, but yeah, that is a good way.
It is a good way. It's completely anonymous. So I'll go ahead and move on to the next one.
I mean, you should.
This one, we have no idea what exactly it does. In quotes, they say they're a project manager, maybe a producer, who knows? But even his pros and cons are just one sentence. I think it's one of the situations where it's like, I need to at least, because it is one of the latest reviews, like February 21st, 2017, that's of this year. Like maybe it's something in response of too many positive reviews. This guy's like, no, let me even the playing field a bit. Let me humble this company. I don't like how everyone's like straight up praising, like we're changing. It's like, let me just make sure, like, all right, 3 stars. All right. So I'm moving on to the next one because I need more perspective on exactly how many people think a certain way. So this one is December 7th, 2016. Job title is a defunct Kojima Production LA designer. Oh, so it sounds like a designer from LA. All right. This guy's a one sentence type of guy too. So 3 stars out of 5, same as the last one. Pros: great franchises, quality talent, location, quality life. I feel like that's pretty default. It's like when someone asks you to say something nice, it's like, all right, I'll default to this. It's like pretty cool. But I mean, all that is true. I have no, at least for me, I have no argument against Konami or Kojima Production having great franchises, awesome people to work with. LA is a great place to live, and their 9-to-5 work life balance is probably pretty good. Cons:
not mentioning the commute.
Unless they live there. So cons: American team treated as second rate. So disgruntled.
Which they usually, unfortunately, are, yeah. I will say.
If you're working for a Japanese company, most likely that
yes, has to you be are it. Most likely fucking
yeah.
No, I have worked with companies in conjunction with Japan, and I will say that we are a fucking different breed in the people they hire in America to then run with Japan.
Yeah.
I'm like, no way would they be okay with who you hired over here to be your counterpart.
Right.
It's a joke.
Well, yeah, keep going. I mean, to comment on that, Larry and I have worked with a Korean publisher before, and the stuff I was hearing about how Korean employees would just like live or die by the game, right? They would self-motivate to stay and crunch because the game is everything to them and it's about their work. Their work ethic's insane, right? While they were telling us this, like Larry and I was like on our way out at 5 p.m. So like there's definitely a difference, right? Especially Japan. Japan is known not just in the game industry, they're known for working really hard.
Yeah, it's a very work culture. It's a
very work hard
culture. Well, not just that. I hate to just jump in really quick, but I feel like they're creative directors are actually
probably pretty creative.
I mean, not to rip on who I've worked with this and that in the past, but man, like I've seen, yeah, Japan creative directors, you know, like all their ideas, this and that. And it's definitely, I don't know, it's just a different league. Like you can tell in America, it's more like, hey, I own a company, I'll be a creative director or something.
Yeah.
And in Japan, it's like, hey, I'm actually insanely talented with a badass idea, style, flair, and I know people around me who have that to hire. And yeah, just keep ripping on it. But yeah, I was with an American company where we were to work with Japan, and we sent them a few demos. And I could tell when even before we sent it, I was like, this is absolute fucking garbage. And sure enough, yeah, we got a movie license a few months later because yeah, they were like, we don't want anything from you guys. But this is another studio where nothing I produced, you know, went to the forefront.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true though. Like Japan as a country, you know, anime is such a huge entertainment industry for them. And I feel like everyone over there knows how to draw, even at a basic level. They're exposed with art all the time. So I can't imagine. Well, I can imagine that, you know, if you get to that level in a work hard type of culture and you make it to creative director, you probably are pretty good at what you do for you to be even recognized and respected.
Yeah, there's some heavy hitters that come out of Japan, right? And so I don't want to just generalize the culture and say that they're a very proud people, but from my experience, I see a lot of pride coming from the people that I've worked with, you know, people who've gone to Japan and talk about their experiences there. You know, that you get like Miyazaki, like you can just say Miyazaki and an entire region of people will be like, yes, I know exactly who you're talking about, and I can tell you exactly how that person changed my life through their art. You can't just be some rinky-dink person and call yourself a creative director when you're coming from a place that is known for producing titans in creative direction.
Right.
So yeah, I can see where like there's a lot of shit that they probably just don't put up with. But then also I've heard that there's a lot of times where because of the esteem and because of the like stature, they expect people underneath them to kind of really bust ass or like work overwhelmingly hard, you know, towards project goals. And, you know, reciprocity is not, I guess, completely fair.
Yeah.
Did you hear about who was the director? Or was it Miyazaki? I think it was Miyazaki was like, hey, I have animation internships available for my next movie.
Yeah.
You just get to work with me. Right?
Yeah, you'd be blessed. I'm gonna just working next to me. It. Yeah.
Sure. I'm sure people would, but I think they're depending on that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going to get over there, and Miyazaki's not going to come to your desk and be like, oh, Daniel, hold it. That's a good animation.
Holding your hand, you there. Showing you how to trace. He's like, fuck no. No, they'll work you like a slave for sure. But yeah, I totally see that. I mean, we can't match them with worth ethic. And I feel like if we do barely match them in terms of quality or whatever, like, it's just a different culture over there when it comes to work, right? So I don't think the Americans over here will ever feel like work is everything, give my all, bring crazy shame to my family if I don't complete this project by this week. You know, no one feels like that over here. It's like, no, I'm going home, man. I have a life.
Well, I feel like, though, when I see their products, though, it's like so goddamn creative. And I feel like that's maybe why they do stay like a lot later, is they just feel a lot more passion and pride for their product. Yeah. And maybe the people they're working with over there, you know, maybe they have more people with pride on their team. Yeah.
Well, I will say this about Kojima, right? So we're talking about the LA company. So this is a designer from the LA company. They specifically wanted an LA presence, an American company, to help with the Metal Gear franchise. And specifically their online component, right? Kojima has said many times in the press how he respected the Western games, like how at least in the PS4 or PS3, they felt like the Japanese games were lacking and the Western games were really killing it. So there was kind of like at least in shooters, right? So there was a mutual respect, at least from Kojima. And for that reason, they built the LA company. But this guy, it seems like the designer. I can't imagine a designer having that type of respect. Maybe Kojima, because he's among his own peer, he's like, all right, interns, wait, how many? I've been here for 10 years. No, you're still an intern compared to me. So I don't know how much of that actually went from him directly. So I don't know. Maybe it's just from the producers talking to the LA company, this and that. But
it would be cool to hear from like employees who have actually worked with Kojima or worked under there. Cause again, right now we're kind of just reading and speculating based on, but like, I would like to know, like, is he the hero that I envision in my eyes? Right. Cause like Kojima's son, I still say son, right? Like, I don't know if I'm supposed to or not, but like, it sounds like it's a more respectful way, you know, like if I ever were to meet him. But like in my mind, he can do no wrong until he does wrong, right? Or until I hear that, like, oh my God, he treats people like shit. Exactly. Right now, I feel like he's the hero of this story.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what went on officially between him and Konami.
Yeah. The Yakuza. Anyways.
Unfortunately, I'm really on the blind on this.
Yeah, well, we're finding out more, I feel like. Even these reviews are short. We're going to the long ones really soon. But just to leave off with this guy, his last advice to management is, sell your franchises if you plan only making pachinko machines. I feel like that's an American attitude towards Konami right now. It's like, we know they make pachinko machines, and we, you know, the whole time they were kind of trying to sell off their franchises. Like, they're making a Metal Gear Vampire game, for God's sake. You guys heard about that? Like a zombie, like Resident Evil style Metal Gear game. They're using all the Metal Gear characters, and it's pretty much like Resident Evil.
All right. So, okay. Yeah. Here's what we got right here. This is what I have been not necessarily fighting against in the game industry, but being very vocal about not enjoying or appreciating, is this sense of like corporate culture just coming in and like vampirically absorbing and draining all the fun and the flair, and but also the integrity of the gaming industry. Yeah. Right? Like, it's like, oh, make 50 of this type of game because that's what people are buying right now. And it's like, I don't care what franchise or what licensees I have to acquire to pull this off, I'll ruin it because we want to make money. I still feel like video games as an art form can be profitable, you know, and still be like something that you can respect and appreciate. You don't have to just go straight to, you know, like, let's take Metal Gear and turn it into a zombie. Like, you can still just make a Metal Gear game. You know what I mean? Fans will still buy that game.
But well, this reminds me of... keep going. Sorry.
I'll hit the last point. But, you know, I get it. You open up the iTunes store and it's like, well, Metal Gear Pachinko costs us like 19 grand and three guys made it. And it has longer revenue tail than any $60 video game they've ever made. Right. I get it. It looks great on paper, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You turn against gamers. Gamers will turn against you. That's usually how it happens.
Well, that reminds me. I knew a producer once who was actually a really good buddy of mine who went on to produce tons of games, and he kind of got that mindset, which kind of annoyed me. Mm-hmm. Where it was like, hey, I'm looking for the cheapest product just so I can keep my business like pumping out these little games. And then when he would look at me or people with like talent that wanted to spend quality time making something meaningful or passionate, yeah, you know, they're just like, I don't want to pay you. Like, I'm looking for the cheap. And I wonder if, yeah, this kind of just reminds me of that maybe, where too many unfortunate business style men are getting in the upper echelon. And it's just becoming like, all right, talent, we're kind of not caring how good you are, what you can produce. You just need that bottom line. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, once you start looking at your employees as cogs, and cheating that way, it's over. There's no way to reverse that type of thinking. So you guys are what? An artist for how many years? 20 years? What are you making? Why are you taking so long? Why do you care so much? Just make it. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. It's like there's nothing that you can say or do or show to change their thinking, because once they feel like art is just a thing, then that's it.
It's just disrespect, man. It's disrespectful to the people who call themselves artists or developers. It's disrespectful to the customer, because you're like, they don't want, you know, like a great experience. They just want mindless escape. Yeah. So give them cookie cut click. Tap Revenge 3 or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. It's just heartbreaking for me, because I see it happening and it's slowly winning.
Yeah.
Oh, and on one end though, they just blow money. Cause when you have unpassionate people at work, not caring about your product, yeah, pay them for 12 hours, but guess what, buddy? You're paying them for 5 hours, 4 hours. Of work.
That's the thing that I feel like most people don't get. Yeah, that's,
I'm telling you,
it's so much healthier. I feel if they feel that way about their products, or at least the quality, it's much better for them to be upright saying like, I don't really care. Like, just make shit. Right. Than to kind of, kind of do it. The most companies kind of, I feel like, from the top down, they do it in a longer, slow death. Right. It's you find out bits and pieces of it in little small meetings. Like, suddenly I don't know why he's so against, or she is so against, the idea of like making this work and making it work better. And it's like, oh, maybe it's something else. But then you don't find out till like near the end, where like, man, this guy did not care about the quality of this game. It's like, holy crap. No wonder all these, and you, all those hours that you make employees walk around the buildings after a team meeting or whatever, like, they could have saved all those hours.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's true. They could be a little more upfront. Yeah. It goes back to our last podcast. Yeah. Where it's like, they expect you to be insanely passionate, but they want a quick, crappy product. So it's like, just tell me straight up, you know, that way I don't have to stay here, go home, stress about this, you know, like how my art looks like crap or design looks crap. Yeah. So that's a good point, Brandon.
All right. So I'm going on to the next one. This is from October 26, 2015. So as I recall, that was in the midst of all this controversy. All right. Maybe this will give us some perspective. 1 star out of 5. So this is a juicy one. Former employee, right? Actually worked in L.A. So we know this is a Kojima production guy. The title is Sinking Ship. All right. It's a really good one. So pros, short one sentence, barely count as a sentence. Great benefits, and you get every holiday off. I think that's like the bare minimum. That's actually the bare minimum. Like
every required holiday they give us. Just like every other job.
These Americans with their holidays.
Recently, we had a company that had a bunch of people laid off, and he wrote like, oh man, I'm so glad I work with, you know, nice people. It was very vague. And then I went to my buddies that still work there, and I was like, did you guys get this? Like, he didn't write talented. He didn't write, you know, motivated, like passionate. He just, you know, vaguely put this. So that's obviously a total
disgruntled. Yeah.
I like that my coworkers had Two hands. Thank you. I was like, what? You're just naming facts now. You're not even complimenting anything. All right.
I got every holiday off.
Got every holiday off.
That's you're not supposed to brag about stuff like
that's
that.
That's someone like, having to put something. I don't know if...
Well, that's someone trying to be very discreet. Yeah,
but I don't. I forget.
Like, I don't want you.
Yeah, I forget if Glassdoor requires you to fill up all the blank spaces. Maybe that's, you know, it was someone forced to write something, right? So great benefits, and you get every.
You know what's interesting about that though is saying that, like, even let's just say it was an honest, like, hey, I get every holiday off. That's some bullshit. Where have you worked?
Yeah, where have you worked, buddy?
Hey, this Christmas you only get one day. Yeah. You know.
That's what I mean. That's a secret diss, right?
Yeah, it's a secret diss.
He didn't say that the team is passionate, talented. He's like, hey, we get holidays.
Yeah, this is definitely a guy. So,
sinking ship.
Sarcasm. Yeah, sinking ship. So, cons. All right, it's a lot longer. No surprise. all right, so management is stuck in the old times. So, I don't know what that is referring to. Colin, you have the most experience out of all of us. Has management been different?
One thing,
yeah.
Sorry, the guy's statement was just management is
what? It's stuck in the old times.
So that's his only comment right there?
Well, that's one of the comments. But that's the full thought on that comment. It's stuck in the old times. So I don't know what that means exactly.
I feel like we need a new one.
Yeah.
Here's your punch card, employee. Sense.
Yeah. Sticking in the thing. Maybe it'll build up. It looks like it's building up. All right. The next one is not willing to step into the future. See, now he's talking about time. And the next one after that, tons of restrictions to working within the company. So probably the email thing that was mentioned, YouTube browsing. YouTube. That's probably why then. Stuck in the old times. Like work is for work. Play is at home, away from work. Maybe that's the no email on phones allowed. This is like, to me, I don't know if you guys do it. For me, I don't put my email work on my phone. Like, I don't think about work when I leave.
I don't.
Yeah, like, so I think this should be a pro. Like, this guy should move that to the pro column if they're forcing that.
I don't know. Some of these, to me, are still indecisive to me. Like, I can't tell if it's just a bad employee or if it's actually bad management, because some of these sound like they just want to maybe go in and change.
Right. They're definitely angry.
Every week.
Yeah. The next one, next comment was said restrictions to almost everything you look at. Big Brother is always watching. So that last four comment is kind of like related, right? Like basically the stuff that we were hearing about email being restricted, browsing is super limited when you're at work. And this is the LA company, by the way. Like I haven't worked at a place that was that restrictive on things. I don't know if you guys heard of this before.
I haven't heard, but I do know that I have been at companies where I'm busting my ass and next to me, some guys on fucking, I don't know. They're on like Amazon or eBay for 7 hours out of the day. And so to me, this kind of sounds cool where it's like, hey, can you shut this dude down?
So call
it. Or are they actually complaining that they can't search for material to look for textures or whatnot? You know. Yeah.
So all this is in the pro column for Colin, right? Colin's all cool with this. So there's probably only that acts like Colin over there.
Dude, I'm gonna speak up.
Yeah.
I can't. So aside from Colin and whoever that was that you were mad at, like I can't think of any reason why I would say employees are forbidden from browsing. Being professional and just managing their own time and taking a mental break when they need it and looking at a YouTube video or looking at Facebook or looking at whatever their escape is, right? Like if you smoke cigarettes and you get out six cigarette breaks or however many Colin. Like some people take. Oh, is that Colin?
Calling him out.
You know, like, everybody has their reason for wanting to like take 5 minutes away from what they were working on to just kind of
get a break. Reset.
It doesn't bother me so much to like have YouTube. So I think that's a con for me. No way, man.
I would agree to that somewhat. I feel like Colin, you are correct, right? There always is that one slacker on the team that's doing God
There's abusers.
Yeah, abusers, right?
On some teams, it's like 40%, but yeah, we'll go.
Oh, shit.
Oh, damn.
But I would say this. There's definitely, I feel, catering to the good people is always best, right? It keeps the good employees happy. Yeah, if some asshole is browsing all the time and suddenly I can't, like, browse because of that, I feel like it demotivates me as an employee. Definitely, like from 100% to 0%. It's like, what did you say? You can't, I can't browse. I'm gone. Like something's happening, and this is probably like should be a red flag to most of these guys at this time. If they don't like this type of behavior, they shouldn't be there at all. If they don't like
that. Well, I think it's always better for the company to handle the situation, handle the person that caused the situation, than to do the vague blanket restriction change. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, oh, when you get five complaints that like one or two people are abusing internet privileges, talk to those one or two people who are abusing internet privileges. Don't do the pussy email that's like, it's come to our attention that
internet
privileges have been abused.
Oh, I've seen
so these
times.
Are the new rules for everybody. Yeah. And it's like, come on, man.
Unfortunately, I've seen two of those before,
I've never appreciated those emails because you know exactly.
Yeah. It just brings the whole team down when they do that. Like, there's no one looks at that and is like, finally, maybe Colin, finally.
Well, this just reminds me of two things. Either executive producers or someone coming in doesn't really know the culture.
Yeah.
Or
I see that.
Or it's just, you have too much, excuse my term here, but you have too much fat on your team and you have too many people slacking and
missing deadlines,
just surfing the internet. And they're just like, God damn, like we hired six of you and only two of you are working. Yeah.
I will say this though.
And that does happen.
Yeah. I will say this. Like, I would not say anything if I was a manager until we start missing deadlines. I mean, that's a clear example of you guys are not doing your work, right? Yeah. But if you're doing this and everything and you're still killing like our team always does, I can't say the same with design. But our team always kills, always delivers. We're always on time. We watch two movies at the same time. Does not matter. We always deliver every deadline all the time, right? I don't see an issue, right? Like, don't make it an issue. Until there's an issue, don't make it an issue, right? It seems to be because by then you're not going to have a room full of artists arguing against you. It's like, we kind of most likely they own up to it. Like, we're not delivering. We're missing deadlines. Like, this is our livelihood. Like, we need to be paid. So changes need to be made. Like, that will be if it's a good art team, right? Or any department team, they would own up to it and actually encourage the change, not be against it. So, all right. So with that being said, I'll move through this guy's comment real quick. So he's saying people have tried to work efficiently only to be punished by Japan corporate. Don't know what that means. HR is abysmal. Only positives that have great benefits. Well, great benefits have come up three times now. So I'm assuming Konami has really good healthcare, but probably because it benefits them the most. Well,
I'm assuming everything else sucks about the company.
So far, benefits have been popping up.
Benefits is it, y'all? Yeah.
So this is 2015, October 26th, right? I forget the date exactly when Kojima went down, but his advice to management or she is that just close shop. This guy's working there. There are a few good people out there. For the most part, though, most people who have been there a long time are ruining the company and won't move on. How relative is that, right?
That's bad hiring right there, dude. Japan was like, let's get an American studio, and they just...
I don't know.
I've seen that before too, man. They hire, just whoever. And Japan's like, I hope you guys hired the best. And it's like, if you compare us,
we're on a bar graph. Right now, we're up here and you're down there.
Our creative director is down here. You're up here. Our art director is down here. It's like,
So like a lot of the frustration I feel like from employees is that, like, I'm still learning this, right? I'm getting wiser. But I feel every employee or anyone that worked in the industry's mistake, first mistake is feeling that they can change things, right? They see an issue, they feel like they can change it, they attempt the change, and it goes one or two ways, right? It all either goes super rainbow, awesome, hey man, that is good advice, I will forward this to the creative. Creative's like, that is great, let's change the studio. There's enough of people here complaining about the same thing, let's do it. That never happens, right? Most of the time what happens is if you have the balls enough to actually say something, you just made yourself a target. And so the remaining time that you're there is a living hell. So I see a lot of that in a lot of these reviews. I feel a lot of people are it's not about them being seeing the bad things happening. It's people that actually try to say something about it and nothing happened. And so they're a little burnt from it. That's at least what I'm seeing from a lot of these things. But
yeah,
I think we only know.
I still feel like,
yeah.
I still feel it goes back to bad hiring. Cause,
are you talking at the lead level or at the everybody underneath?
Or at any level. Cause I feel like, yeah, when you're working on games like this, or you hear these complaints, it's usually, people that aren't worthy of being there and they're complaining. Like I was talking about the whole tech stuff. Like it could have been someone that's trying to change the studio because they can't do like use the tools they already have. So they want to add new tools and new stuff and change it. Or yeah.
Well, I mean, the next one is pretty appropriate to what you're saying, right? The next review is 2 out of 5 stars. I haven't even seen a 5-star yet. Usually we would see that by now. Anyways, title is frustrating. So this guest frustrated. Pro, a great history of IP creation, forward thinking, always trying to be the best. Well, that was 25 years ago. Does not really apply to the day. Read the cons. This guy can't wait for you to read the cons. They lost their way. A bunch of people in the corporate office saying one thing, doing another, and giving zero power and authority to those in charge, quote, and expecting 100% accountability in return. Do not bother. Advice to management. I know you heard it all before from many current and former employees, right? So there is some confirmation that a lot of people have complained about the same thing. Just give up now and close the doors. When Kojima left, it was game over. So that's from September 18, 2015.
Is that Kojima's like fake account?
Yeah, I know, right? Kojima, but honestly, dude, if you were...
When I left... When Kojima left...
All right, let's be real here. Let's be real. If you were a person working at Kojima Productions... Yeah. And Kojima isn't there anymore. Most likely, yeah, it is game over. Like the guy, the studio that is named after the guy has just been fired, right?
Yeah. Like if he's still alive, right, and can still work, still in his prime, and is not there, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something's wrong. All
right. So, Jesus. A lot of this is going. I'll go read quickly through some of this because it seems like it's building a story around it too. Cons overtook the pros. That's the title of the next one. 2 out of 5 stars. Worked at Konami Digital Entertainment for more than 5 years. All right, this guy is this guy or gal is an oldie. So pros: full slate of health benefits. 100% paid by employer. Man, it must be really good.
Nice.
Must be really
That's
good.
That's awesome.
Generous 401k match. Rapid PTO accrual. The people were uniformly outstanding. Best collection of course in my career. So the people were there were awesome. And they took care of you health-wise in case you die, right? It's awesome. Cons: paranoid atmosphere. Didn't know if we were in El Segundo or East Germany. That's a huge statement. Employee happiness and well-being took us backseat to just about every other consideration, with HR being consistently inhibited in their efforts to boost morale. So they were at least trying to better things.
Well, what do you need to boost morale for if you're working on a badass game, dude? Like
it's probably a badass license with bad design decisions.
And from the other comments.
Yeah.
Based on the other comments, Brandon, I have a feeling they hired a recruiter hired leads or art directors or something that obviously we're not.
Well, I feel like most studios go down in a decline, and it always starts with
a comment. Yeah.
With the leader art director.
Well, I would make a comment like that where I'm like, oh man, HR is awesome. Oh, benefits are awesome. If I fucking hated everything else,
right? The art department. That's the thing that you can come up with.
Discipline.
Yeah.
So this guy, yeah, it's obvious that everything else is wrong, but hey, they're getting paid.
Yeah. You know? Well, I'm pretty sure non-leads, because most of them say co-workers, right? People that you work next mm-hmm. to. And generally, every place that I worked at, even if I had crazy complaints, hasn't really been about the guys that I hang out with, right? At least in my experience. So I do understand if they are complimenting people they were working next to are pretty cool and everything's working out. I do realize also that they don't say leads, right? Awesome leadership or anything. That's always, yeah. That's always left out. So cons are, they feel like this is not LA, but East Germany, right? HR consistently trying to improve efforts to boost morale. Colin and I know about this type of behavior, right? Little tea parties every 2 weeks, thinking that this is going to fix my lead being stupid or not.
My shit ass talentless art director, creative director. Yeah.
Ice cream day is not going to fix that. I'm sorry.
Ice cream day.
So this is probably something along those lines.
Movie day, ice cream day, barbecue. Yeah, it's not going to fix. Yeah.
It's not going to fix how horrible this place is. All right. Freaking layoffs were poorly managed and executed. I can sense that. So probably a little background on that. You know, layoffs that are happening are probably in the regards of you would hear about someone not being there anymore the day of, not getting a chance to say goodbye. They're just like, hey, this person doesn't work here anymore. And then just, I feel like if you see enough of those, I don't know why they handle it the way they do. I've been at enough places where they do that. And it feels like you guys should leave too. it's like something's going wrong here. Like for you not to be able to, for that person to finish their 2 weeks and be able to walk around and say goodbye and stuff. It's never a good message to send out. And it's always being sent out by, I don't know, the CTO or something, the money guy who has no problem saying that, hey, I just freed up our benefits and salary this year by this much. He's not here anymore. Like, usually people aren't that excited about announcing that type of thing. But anyways, management was making it up as they went along. Non-existent proactive communication about strategy. Just a very depressing workplace. Stop being objectively terrible. Advice to management.
Wow, working on a very awesome and insane
Metal Gear 5, project. Dude. That's
and I hear that. No, I'm telling you right now. That's what I said before, man. They hired bad, insanely bad management leaders, and it shows in this review. Well, actually, yeah, it's just one review.
Yeah, that's one review. But we're starting to see a story here, I feel like. So I worked at Konami for full time for a few years. The title is Outdated Company, Too Slow to Succeed. So we hear this a lot, right? It seems like they're very situated in their old ways, right? So it could be the email thing. It could be the browsing history. It could be just come to work just to work and leave type of thing. Who knows exactly what the details are? Some of them are hinting at it. But the pro is the company afforded me a great deal and opportunity to grow my skills and knowledge. Only I had to do it on my own with no actual help, example, or encouragement from the company. So I love how these pros would start pretty positive and then like a hamster being like electrocuted or like buzzed a bit quickly goes down to like, but I did it myself. The company did not help me do this.
Well, I was at one company where it was like that, where it was like all the newbies hired was the new tech.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Like they didn't care to teach them. The people there didn't care to learn it. Yeah. And they weren't like, hey, well, kind of after 2-3 years, hopefully you can learn a little bit of ZBrush. Yeah. It was like, all right, we give up on you guys. We'll just hire people that know their shit. We'll get
just updating the
team. That is sad. Like when you get a company like that, yeah. So I don't know, but from this comment, again, it's kind of hard to tell if it's the reverse, if it's a guy trying to change the company or if it's,
Well, I feel like most people who work at a company that sees a game that has potential like Metal Gear, right? I think that's what upsets most people. It's like, oh my God, this could have been great, but it isn't, right? And so if you care just enough, or even a little, that would move most people to try to change things. Like they would at least voice like, hey, maybe we shouldn't do that stupid shit, right? Maybe we should do something cooler, at least some effort, and then getting burnt, right? It's the burnt that drives most, I feel, Glassdoor reviews, right? It's being burnt. Like you tried and attempted and being burnt. And you need to say something, even though either you don't work there anymore or you don't care as much anymore, but you feel still inclined to say something, and Glassdoor gives you that anonymous soapbox that you can complain about. Like, I feel like every one of these guys are kind of been through the same ringer.
What's interesting to me in regards to this type of thing is, like, I always feel like Glassdoor is the alternative for the unheard voice that could be completely circumvented if the company themselves had a much better open door policy where action could be seen and felt after the conversation. And it didn't just feel like patronizing when you're like, hey, Larry, we want you to come to us and tell us how you feel. And you do that. And they're like, okay, thank you for telling us how you feel. And then nothing changes. There's no acknowledgement of things being worked on, or it's like, they want you to just vent and then think like if they do nothing, that's all they needed to do. I feel like people go to Glassdoor because they're like, I'm a small person against this corporation or this company, and this is the only way that I can potentially make things hard on them the way that things were hard on me. But like, if the company was like, hey, all right, look, I know we're probably going to hear some things we don't want to hear, but tell us what's going on in your life. Well, I'll take an hour of my time. It's better that you and I have this talk than Glassdoor and the rest of the world has this talk. You know what I mean? And companies need to understand that, like, you can do so much better for yourself, even if it's going to be a bad situation, to hear out the employee and then try to do something to help the situation. It may not be much or it could be a lot, but it's a lot better than that employee being like, these guys don't care about me, so therefore, everyone who could potentially come to this company, don't do it. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to come back from that.
No, very well put. I mean, I wonder too, though, if God, you know, from these comments, if sometimes it's just like I went through, where you have management that doesn't really care, and you get hired to be that that artistic talent or even that talent. And then they don't want to let you rise and do your job. So then eventually you're like, oh my God, now I got to battle my manager to get this like badass, you know, Metal Gear Solid 5 game out. Like, this is a joke, you know? And that happens a lot behind closed doors, which is kind of sad. And there's no way, real way to get that out there.
Well, fair enough. I'm going to try to finish this up with some nice 5 stars, right? I love, after reading a long slew of 1 to 2 stars, I love finding the 5 stars in the midst of this, right? Some would say it's suspect, but those are just the haters, right? What do you guys think? So I'm going to read some of these. All right. April 26, 2015. So 2015 was the it year for Kojima production, right? That's when all this stuff was happening. So I think these, if anything, are pretty fun to read. Starts with the title, Good Company, Great Project. Nice people, challenging tools, right? This guy loved the challenge. So I've been working at Kojima. So this is a 5-star review, digital entertainment full time, less than a year, right? So this guy's been there, maybe past the honeymoon stage, which is around 6 months, and then a little longer than that to at least hear what the employees really think, right? So pros, love the project, love the space. Relatively small team gives it a family feeling. That's a nice spin.
Was it a small team though?
Well, the multiplayer team can't be that small. Do you know how big that size is? 100 ish?
Oh, okay. They just did multiplayer.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it's just a multiplayer team. This was from LA, right? Los Angeles.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. His pro is it's a small team. It gives you a family feeling, right? So, followed up quickly with the con. Small team also means shortage of resources for future implementation and requires us to wear many hats. Tools are sometimes limited. So basically they were cheap. They didn't hire enough people to help. But this guy tried to find the value in having that awesome small team family gathering meeting where it's like, how the fuck are we going to deliver this? It's like a family get together, right? So advice to management, more transparency, let people know of your intentions and include them in the dialogue. So this is the thing I see a lot when I read these Glassdoor confession, especially the five stars, right? It would start off with a positive vibe. But then when it comes to the cons and advice to management, it's like these are pretty bad things. Like, where did you get five stars? Like, how do you give a perfect score to a company that are like, you're asking them to be more transparent and you're asking them, hey, maybe you guys should let people know about your intentions and then include them in conversations. It's like, it's not a passing type of critique, right? It's like, hey, man, maybe, you know, have different types of coffee. That'd be great. You know, that's an advice to management to maybe a five-star team. But when you're telling them, like, hey, maybe you should tell us what the fuck is going on. It seems kind of like, why are you giving him five stars?
He doesn't want to get found out.
Yeah.
Like, five stars yeah. If you find out who I am.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be mad at me. Well, here's another.
So wait a minute, really quick. Yeah,
go ahead.
I was a little confused this time. So this company, they just did the multiplayer, you said.
Yeah, right? The LA company was in charge of multiplayer, while the Japan company was in charge of the single player. So they teamed up together.
Okay, so multiplayer, did they have to do a lot of models, levels, or were they just...
Well, I would imagine online? 2015, a shooter, they're probably having, like, probably a lot of different skins, right? So, different uniforms that, you know, that people can buy. You can swap out different camos. Maybe that. Maybe on the environment side, it's like taking the single player. Because the single player levels were all open world, right? It's like huge terrain. So the multiplayer is probably like a smaller team deathmatch version of that. So there is probably
for me when I was like, for me when I was doing my comments and my answers, I was basing this off as like the company maybe making a lot of stuff.
There, it's a mix, right? So there's the ones we read. Some were Los Angeles and some were Japanese.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
So this Glassdoor. Kojima Production doesn't have its own page. It's mixed with Konami Digital Entertainment, which is the whole company. So,
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So I think a lot of the comments, especially in 2015 when the LA studio was going through all that shit, a lot of those comments were kind of giving us insight as it was going down, I feel. Like,
well, that makes sense then. They were like, yeah, we're getting benefits, but... we're doing online so we don't have to do creative shit. Yeah. So I guess now that kind of makes
sense. Yeah, like Japan doesn't want to trust us. To do more. Yeah. Maybe they wanted
to. Yeah, maybe they wanted to do more.
So let's see. I'll do one more and I'll try to find a good one. All right, here's a pretty long one. And we'll end it with an average scoring, right? Let's look at an average scoring.
I was going to tell the truth.
Yeah, 3 out of 5, we heard the 1 stars, we heard the 5 stars. Here's the 3 stars. Just to reiterate, right? And this one, this guy's been here for more than 5 years, so I think that's pretty good. Decent overall experience, but can be incredibly soul-draining due to the large amount of red tape.
Damn.
So we heard about the red tape many times. So 3 stars, right? So just to kind of let the audience and listeners know like how the 3 stars are actually calculated. So if you never visit Glassdoor, it's actually split between work-life balance. And so there's 5 stars you can rate out of that. Culture and values. So there's another 5 stars that you can do. Career and opportunities. That's 2 5 stars. Comp and benefits. And then senior management. So there's 5 categories that you have to do out of 5. And then it averages it into a final score, right? So this guy, I'll just read through it, just give you an idea of how they got 3 stars. Work-life balance was around 3. So maybe they had to do some crunching, but not terrible, right? They weren't getting divorces over it. Culture and values, 2 out of 5 stars. So, you know, ethics, how they were treated, maybe, and ice cream day not being enough, maybe. That's career.
It's only one flavor.
One flavor, yeah, only vanilla. Career opportunities, 2 out of 5 stars. So
that sucks too.
Career opportunities usually with regards to growth.
That's every game.
Studio. That's every game. Studio, yeah. There's only one lead per department. So do the math. Go up, yeah. You're not going to get it. Comp and benefits, 4 out of 5 stars. Right? We're hearing this a lot. Benefits, at least they took care of them, health and dental, right? Everyone had good teeth.
We live in LA. We need money. Yeah. Thanks for paying. Yeah.
Senior management, right? So this is upper management, 3 out of 5 stars. So that's pretty surprising. Okay. So they were okay. At least in the LA studio, they were cool. Sorry. All right. And so that, all that.
Okay. It's 3 out of 5, Brian. Calm down, dude. 3 out of 5.
Overall, 3 out of 5. So that's how it calculated.
That's good.
That's not bad. Yeah. So pros, very good benefits in 401k. Right. Again, the benefits, always the first thing everyone lists as pros. 401k matching percentage is impressive. So, yeah, that's pretty rare still. I think a lot of companies don't do that unless they're very big. They always stop at a percentage. People working there are talented and all around good people. Good location and great parking situation. Love that parking lot. It's like pulling teeth, I bet, for a lot of these guys to come up with something. The weather was nice on most days.
Do you think that these people were ever in a position where they were forced to give a Glassdoor review?
I would not be surprised. I personally go straight to the 5 stars to determine that. It's very easy to snuff them out. And even then, though, what's funny is, like, even the ones where I felt like pretty suspect on, like, 5 stars, great company, awesome things, I always go straight to their cons, and they're always like, they slip a bit. I feel like it's like oh, there's some things we can do better at. You know, it's like just enough where their souls aren't completely dead. Right? It's a guilty.
Brandon hits him up. Shut up, producer.
Stop that shit.
Trying to make. Yeah.
Who are you, Anonymous?
Yeah, my life's easy peasy. I'm chilling. Life's great. Yeah.
Shut up. It's like a comment, a nested comment on it. Who is this? Who is this?
All right. Man, if Glassdoor allowed anonymous comments, oh, it would be so good.
It'd be good, right?
So good.
I wish they would. Juice. The only thing they actually let you do is so this is another. This is another way. There's a trick to this, right? There's a trick to this, to reading Glassdoor and seeing what's true or not. So they have, the only thing they have that you can, it's kind of like a comment system, but it's more like kind of like the Facebook like system. It's a helpful link.
Yeah. Was this helpful?
Yeah. Was this helpful? And people can like it basically. And it'll give you the number of how much of this review, particular review, was relevant to the rest of the company, right? And that's anonymous as well. So maybe it's worth it to look at like which one was the most helpful, and maybe that would be the most reflective. Because even with this that I'm reading, it's only one helpful.
I don't know, Brandon. Any name? I gotta look these people up.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
this guy has shitty talent at a studio complaining, or is he?
I'm pretty sure companies who've had like a horrific amount of bad reviews have requested Glassdoor to give them info. I'm pretty sure that's happened.
What's it gonna take? You guys have been saving the IP addresses, right? You got something, right?
So,
or they send a few of their people to put a few 5 out of 5 star notes on there with, yeah, we get good compensation and a good location.
Yeah, good parking lot space. Okay, so I'll quickly read his cons. A lot of these are repetitive. No clear direction. So this has to do with the leads. Company doesn't seem to be 100% invested in the gaming market while they were wanting to do iPhone games. Tons of red tape. Things move insanely slow at the company. Various opportunities are missed as a result. Culture is, of course, very Japanese. As a result, it can be very difficult to convince Japanese management to go in a direction that would be ideal for the North American market. So insanely probably a talented team wanting to do more, but only restrained to multiplayer. And then limited job growth. So, I mean, one lead for every department. That's like every company. Tons of unhappy and unmotivated coworkers due to upper management's strict rules and slow turnaround. It feels like I get it. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, for Kojima to find out at the end of 2015, that means he must have known at the beginning of 2015 what was going on. Like, I don't think he was surprised that he got let go. And so a lot of the issues would unravel during 2015, the year of a lot of these bad reviews that I'm pulling from. But, it's unfortunate, man. Like, at a certain point, I look at these and I'm reading through them, and a lot of the pros that get repeated are probably true, and the cons about red tape, slow progress, and the American team not getting enough credit to or trust to actually do something. It's no wonder they closed down, dude. Like, there's nothing here that I feel like is completely made up.
Yeah, it feels honest. It doesn't feel too close to the 5 perfect star without any sort of sense of realism. You know, they're like, oh, this is the best job I've ever had. Everything is perfect here. I don't know how these other people could leave such negative comments. That's when, you know, you're starting to tip it in the... and the bogus.
Yeah. Like, most of these reviews are 3 stars and below. There's only a few 5 stars. So far, I'm looking through 4 pages. There's like 3 5-stars. I'll read one more, but I'm trying to find a juicy one.
Well, I feel like, once again, this was tough because this was...
Studio going under, right?
Studio go
under. Almost kind of like a almost kind of like what we would consider a porting company, right? Where they just like port systems. So they might have a lot of complaints, and they might be valid, and it might be like, "Hey, we just pay you to port. Like, we don't want your talent and creativity."
Yeah, they were.
Let the Japan team handle the real stuff.
Yeah,
there probably is a lot of attitude. Yeah, I mean, it's like even though Kojima Production was a first party, at least in the LA one, it was a first party company, but they were treated like a third party company, right? Third party.
I would love to do one or hear more about. Yeah, really quick about Activision. What was it? The company that did
Modern Warfare?
No, Tony Hawk's Skateboard.
Oh, never saw.
We can read about
that. Yeah, because when I was at Activision, I kind of heard a little bit more about that, how, and it felt like they got totally just fucked at the end. And I just, yeah, if we ever talk about another studio.
Well, there you go. That could be the next one.
Yeah.
The beauty of Glassdoor Confessions is these are other people's confessions that we are simply just reading to the audience. So we will get plenty of opportunity to talk about any of these companies and just share what other people have said.
Yeah, I think a lot. I think we're going to study a lot of these. I say study and I do mean it. We're going to study a lot of these companies that have close and aren't around more first, right? Because I feel like we're gonna spot a lot of patterns of what seems to be true and what seems to be false, and just disgruntled employees, because it is important, right? If you're disgruntled, you're gonna say everything terrible about the company and just dismiss everything that was good about it, and so it gives you really exaggerated reviews, right?
Or polarizing.
Polarizing. So as far as I can see, Kojima Production had a lot of 3 stars and a few 2 and 1 stars. And the issues that were brought up was pretty synonymous with each other. So it was a company that was going through closure in its last year, and they felt it. Kojima was the first to go. When your game director, who's been around for 20 years, who made that franchise, basically, is gone, there's really no chance that you'll stick around, right? So hopefully,
I think
it was pretty obvious.
Without being able to say that, like, I knew a lot of people that worked there or, like, felt any of what they went through, I don't want to be disrespectful to them. But I'll say, as an outsider who is a fan, I think that, like, how everything played out in the end is, like, completely disrespectful to the man who probably made them hundreds of millions of dollars, whose ideas help employed a lot of people, who help put your studio further on the map. Like, you know, sure, Konami, I know them from, like, the early Nintendo days, but, like, come on, let's be real. Like, without Kojima, there's a lot of things that that company was able to benefit and prosper off of that wouldn't be possible had he not been involved. It seems like they could have just done it behind closed doors, like, even if it was out of respect, you know, for both entities, because now there's, like, they're both kind of tarnished because of that. You know what I mean? I hate to say it, but, like, I really wish that they could have just handled their shit without it being so drawn out and so petty.
Yeah.
You know, God, I guess that's where I am. So.
Well, that's how it goes, man. It always feels petty. And I mean, me leaving, I felt like, yeah.
Well,
I'm like, I'm not making these people any more money right now for the last year, and it feels good.
So. That's what happens, though. Like,
take it. Yeah. You can hire your crap and make whatever. And yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was our first Glassdoor Confession. I want to thank you guys personally for joining me and to kind of read on what's going on with Kojima. I felt like I got a lot more insight on what was happening.
And fans of the podcast, you made it to the end. Congratulations. I would like to ask, though, that you give us feedback on this episode specifically. You can obviously comment in SoundCloud. You can go on Facebook and comment on our Facebook page. You can even email us if you'd like. We would like to get some feedback on how we did this time around, things that you might think could make this interesting for you, things that you would like to hear more of. This is the first one, and we want to make it better just for you. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a supporter. I'm Larry Charles. Good night.
This is Brandon Pham. See you guys next week.
This is Colin Fogle. Thanks for having me on, you guys.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to stay in touch or continue to follow our developments, then you need to go to facebook.com/gamedevunchained and drop a like and stay in touch. You can also get the direct feed for this podcast on soundcloud.com/gamedevunchained.